Now, he played 87 one-day internationals for Australia, six test matches in cricket. He played for St Kilda as a footballer, but I've never seen him more nervous than today. He is, of course, now an owner, a man who has established himself well and truly in the racing industry. Simon O'Donnell, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Hopefully, we have some success on the racetrack this afternoon because that cricket and football, none of that was there was no high achievement in that, but winning a Melbourne Cup would be an unbelievable experience.
You've got four horses running. What an amazing year.
Yes, it has been. And I think being around racing, I think I can consider it a long time now. And with the partners that come on these journeys with us, you know how tough it is. So you don't take this for granted. You don't think this is going to be a year-in, year-out thing. The marbles have fallen for us this year. The horses have stayed on their feet. They're happy. They're healthy. You can see as late as this morning, Cavalry Man coming out. Yesterday, Sea Moon. I mean, the war of attrition leading into this race is extraordinary. And we've stayed away from that this year. For whatever reason, I'm not sure, but the racing gods have looked down on us so far. God, I hope they look down on us at 3 o'clock.
Now, talk us through the highs and lows of being someone in your position over the last couple of weeks. Because you explained it very well when I was talking to you before. You're much nervous now, more nervous now than whenever you went out and played for Australia. And that's because you don't have the ultimate control, do you?
No. Oh, when you're playing the game of cricket, you're batting. You actually have a bat in your hand, and you have some control over your destiny. In a game of football, you miss a tackle, you can rectify that 10 seconds later by making a tackle. In racing, the Melbourne Cup comes around once a year. You work all year for that 3.5 minutes. If things don't go your way, it's a hell of a long time to get another crack at it. So it's unnerving in a sense because you don't have any semblance of control, but you're completely and utterly emotionally engaged in it, and that's the great part of it. It sends grown men, experienced businessmen, it sends them weak at the knees, and that's the great part about it. I don't explain it well. I know I don't explain it well, but I don't explain it well because I don't think I even fully understand the emotion of it.
Okay, well, let's talk. I mean, you've been there before with Bauer, and we'll talk about that in a second. You guys, speaking of going weak at the knees, but let's talk about today's horses, and I'll name them, and you can give us maybe one line on each horse. First of all, Gatewood.
Has come here with very consistent form out of Europe. That rain coming in from Geelong will help him. If there's a sprinkle and there's some give in the track, I think it will afford him the opportunity of running even better than we think he's going to run. But the horse is happy, healthy, and ready to have a crack at 2 miles.
Ladari.
Same thing. Was a little precocious in his form when he first arrived from France here 2 years ago. Is now looking for a trip. Has run and won over 1.5 miles twice in France. Deserves his opportunity to run 2 mile here in a Melbourne Cup.
Brambles.
Just dogged. A real Aussie, albeit he was bred in New Zealand, but he's just dogged. He's got a massive heart. Over-raced a little in the Caulfield Cup. Still, I think the best Melbourne Cup form is through a Caulfield Cup. He ran fourth. You could make a case where he could have run second. If that actually happened, he'd be one of the favourites here today.
And finally, Au Revoir.
Au Revoir, another Frenchman, has run and competed very well in France over 3,000 metres, has weight for age form in France before he came here against horses that have gone on and competed and won in Group 1 races, one of them an English Derby winner and ruler of the world. So I think he's snuck in here under the radar, if there's such a word in the English language as snuck.
So let's go back into history. You've spoken about your current horses. Bauer, you got so close with Bauer, and that's when you sort of came in under the radar. What was that, 2008?
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about the Melbourne Cup. If I remember rightly, I think we were $40-odd and viewed was $50. Now, that can happen in a Melbourne Cup. It can be $70 and $80 horses. So 2 miles, pressure, 100,000 people, all the unknowns for these horses today. You know, the birdcage, coming out of the tunnel, seeing all the people in the stands, it sends a lot of horses off. If that's one of the favourites, their race is over before they left the mounting yard. So there are lots of unmeasurables that you don't see outwardly when you're reading the paper this morning saying, I'm going to back that horse. Because the lead up to this race is just as important as anything that's happened in the last 6 months.
So what, tell us the feeling, sitting in the stands, having so much emotion and also money invested in a horse like a Bauer or the four you've got today, and as they sort of come into the home straight, what's going through your mind, what's your emotion, and how's your heart pumping?
I still to this day don't have a great recollection watching it the first time. It's wonderful watching it live. Your heart does beat. You're looking for your horse, but it's suddenly a mirage of horses. They seem to be everywhere, and you're looking for either your cap, your sleeves, trying to figure out exactly where you are, because the emotion running through your veins is extraordinary. And you know, the day Bauer started coming out of the pack at the 300-metre mark, I'll never forget it. And if that's the feeling that being competitive in a Melbourne Cup gives you, I don't want one, I don't want two, I want more and more and more and more, because it's a feeling that's second to none from a sport, in a sporting perspective, as far as I'm concerned. Because, again, you're completely and utterly emotionally engaged, but you can do nothing about it, bar cheer.
In many ways, many people, I suppose, lament the fact that now there is so much involvement in the Melbourne Cup, and you've been very instrumental in that. Do you have any regrets about that or not?
Of
getting foreign horses involved.
No. I mean, look, I suppose the hardest thing in anything to accept is change. You know, whether it be, you know, who thought 20 years ago you're going to be sitting here doing a radio program with a computer screen in front of you with everyone's name on it, who's calling, going to them digitally, all those. The world's changing. This race has evolved. And, you know, we hear this debate every year for about a week leading into the Melbourne Cup. It'll all go away because the Golden Slipper is in the autumn and so is the Blue Diamond, and all the two-year-olds will be back in focus. So, look, it's a right discussion to have, but the world is a small place now, and our racing is truly as good as anywhere else in the world, and we have to showcase it. And showcasing the Melbourne Cup and international horses coming here, it's time we now started to think, okay, we've got to take some more over there and show them how we do things. But this race wouldn't be as good as it is today if it didn't have quality participants. There isn't enough quality participants in Australia. Now, you can't put a cap on the international, because you'll take the Melbourne Cup back 30 years. You'll go back to... There's nothing wrong with what the Melbourne Cup was 30 years ago, but it's changed. It is now a quality handicap for the best stayers in the world. We don't have the best stayers in the world here in this country. They have them in Europe. Until we do have them here in this country, and that's going to be a massive change if it ever happens, is we'll win the odd one, but the Europeans will win the majority.
The four you've got in today, do you have a favourite?
No.
Go on.
No, because there's going to be partners of ours driving into the course. He never bloody told me that. They've all got to... Because you want... I'm lucky enough to be experienced the journey to get here. I wouldn't be brash enough to think one has a better chance than the other. We've been involved in enough Melbourne Cups at OTI and with the partners that come on this journey with us. I just want every one of them to enjoy it, and hopefully they get as big a buzz out of it as I do and as Terry and I do, because that means they'll want to do it over and over again, just like we do.
Okay, so outside your own four, because you can't play favourites, what horse do you look at and think, gee, I wish it was mine running today?
Well, if we weren't involved in horses running today, the best form coming into a Melbourne Cup is through the Caulfield Cup, and the best weight for age horse in the race. The best weight for age horse in the race is Faulkner, so he's a genuine chance. And the Caulfield Cup form coming through Admire Racti and Lucia Valentina, there's your horses who are rightfully should be in the betting at this stage. But as I said earlier, there's a lot more goes into this two-mile race than just what happened at Caulfield and what happened to Moonee Valley a week ago. These horses have got to cope with a hell of a lot more than they've coped with in those 2 days, and we see how they get their head around it, because if they don't get their head around it, they won't win the Melbourne Cup.
So where will we find you at race time, and what will you be doing at race time?
I'll be sitting with our partners and trying to keep myself calm, make sure they're enjoying the moment, and if something bursts out of the pack and puts themselves in the race, or something turns for home and kicks, I'm not sure what I'll be doing, because you get so overawed by it. I hope it's nothing stupid, but I'll be screaming and yelling, I can assure you of that. We have a photo in our toilet at home, which I see every day, and it is of when Bow went across the line with Viewed. And I'm out of my seat, my wife's next to me, some of our partners are behind us, and we're all out of our seats. Now, that euphoria was extraordinary. I hope we experience it today, because, we thought we'd won a race in 2008, and if that happens again today, it's something very, very much to look forward to.
And does that match, can you honestly say that match is playing for Australia for the first time?
I think it outweighs it, but it's different. It's hard to explain, and I'm very lucky. I'm no martyr. I'm lucky to have experienced those things, but this is a unique experience. This is something that, as I said, it engages you as much as your childhood love for footy and cricket or any sport, playing the piano, whatever it was, that childhood love. But you have control of that to an extent. You have no control today. No, absolutely nil, yet you're more enthralled, you're more in it. You've had the coaches talk, you want to go out and do something about it, but you can't. You're sitting on your big bum in the stands with your binoculars up there. There's nil I can do. There's 23 others out there wanting to beat us, and you just go for the ride.
You paint a magnificent picture, Simon. Good luck. I would love to see you do it. I've seen you do stupid things in the past, and it's fun to watch.
Well, I hope it's not too stupid, but if it is stupid, Nick, it'll all be for the right reasons, because this is an extraordinary day in Australian sport. It's iconic, and just to be part of it is an enormous thrill.
Simon O'Donnell, thank you very much, and good luck. Simon has just explained perfectly the passion and why so many people get involved in this sport.